Welcome to A Junior VC Unfiltered, your behind-the-scenes look into the AJVC newsletter team. This is your host, Mazin, and this week I'm joined by Aviral and Bhumika. In this episode, we talk about Indian matchmaking and AJVC's piece about it. Will Bharat Matrimony win Indian matchmaking? So Aviral, why did the team choose this topic?
I think firstly, happy Diwali to everyone who's listening and to you guys as well. We actually wanted to pick up something that was related to festivities and a category that a lot of people have not really dug very deep into. And I think almost every Indian living in a city, even beyond, has heard of online matchmaking services like Shaadi.com, Bharat Matrimony, Jeevan Sathi, and now more recently Tinder. And we thought it might be interesting to explore these because they're phenomenally big businesses. They're actually profitable internet companies, which is a rarity. And it made a lot of sense to explore how they really came about. They're one of the first few internet companies to actually start in India.
And so now diving into this week's episode, Bhumika, can you get us started by telling us a bit more about the company?
Thanks, Mazin. So to get a flavor of how Bharat Matrimony started out, I think it's worthwhile talking about the life of the founder, Murugavel Janakiraman. So Mr. Janakiraman was the typical small town boy, hailing from a locality called Royapuram in Tamil Nadu. And he's been described like many a times as the quintessential struggler. The medium of much of his primary education was Tamil. He was the first person in his family to attend high school. And he had like one simple dream, to have a decent roof over his head. He went on to get a degree in statistics and enrolled himself for an MCA later. And he recalls at that stage that he didn't think that he had it in him to be a good programmer, but with passing time, he got really good at it. And then he had like global job offers in his pocket. He took up an offer from New Jersey, but even then, like the only thing he wanted was a roof over his head. And that was up till the advent of the internet though. Once he saw the potential in the internet, he was sure that he wanted to make something for it. And he began with like a very simple website called sisindia.com, mostly aimed at, you know, Tamilians settled abroad, where they could find the Tamil calendar, upcoming festivals, and get email reminders about them. Pretty handy stuff, basically. And on this site, he also included a greeting card feature and a matrimonial service. And I'm not entirely sure about the inspiration behind the next move I'm going to narrate, but Mr. Janakiraman ended up hosting his own profile under the matrimonial section of this website. And a man reached out to him, asked for his horoscope and stuff, and this man is now his father-in-law. So this kind of opened his eye to the opportunity of making an exclusive service for matrimony. And he went on to set up a service for the Tamil and Telugu matrimony. And used the domain name bharatmatrimony.com, which was the birth of Bharat Matrimony as we know it. So in the year 2000, a global recession put him out of a day job, but Bharat Matrimony was doing fairly well, and Mr. Janakiraman came back to India. He set up a small 300 square feet office, hired the gold medalist from the University of Madras, and got to work. And by in the next 4 years or so, by 2004, the team was making like decent profits and was approached by an investor. But Mr. Janakiraman was kind of sure that he wanted to retain his independence and turned them down. And around the same time, their competitor Shaadi.com had announced a partnership with Yahoo. And Yahoo and Rediff were the two major search engines in India back then. So Mr. Janakiraman went to Rediff, but he couldn't strike a bargain and he wanted to retain control over the majority stake in his company. So he went on to like, you know, try to grow his business organically, and he tried to branch out. He focused on job finding and automobile sales and the like, set up websites for them. But by 2006, he kind of figured out that he needed to raise capital to stay in the game. And they went through like a lot of investors before running into, drum rolls, Yahoo. And now, Mr. Janakiraman was kind of convinced that nothing would come out of meeting with Yahoo, but he walked out of that meeting with an investment that he wanted. And another investor who had a falling out with one of their competitors got wind of this Yahoo deal and offered to inject capital into Bharat Matrimony. And that was how all of this started.
Really an amazing story. Aviral, can you tell us how it evolved from there and how they got to where they are today?
Yeah, so some curious things about this kind of business model. I think the one thing that actually stands out for me is the fact that success equals leaving the platform, which is something that the Bharat Matrimony team and most other matchmaking services would have seen very early on. Churn kind of kills businesses, but in this case, because the transaction is really high average order value or high transaction value, it tends to really cover the costs. And as you would see, what Bharat Matrimony was doing was trying to replace the trusted advisors that anybody has when they're getting married in the arranged marriage setup with something online. And you know, just to understand how difficult that is, it took so many years for people to get used to hiring cabs and hiring people who you've never worked with to deliver you stuff. But Bharat Matrimony and their competitors in India were doing this from 1997, when even the internet had not really picked up. But as Bharat Matrimony entered the 2010s, the internet was obviously picking up. They had built a very trusted brand. Competition was also heating up, and the market was becoming bigger and bigger, right? And just to put things into perspective, in 2014, Bharat Matrimony was doing revenues of 200 crores and it was profitable. There are some other well-known companies that we know, Flipkart and Ola, which were growing really fast, but bleeding lots of money and nowhere close to the turnover of Bharat Matrimony at that time. And I think that really is something that a lot of startups can take inspiration from, how to build a internet business that is profitable, growing, and actually solving a real problem for people. It's very underrated how these online matchmaking platforms really converted an offline activity online, and that requires so much trust because people are getting married based on their suggestions, right? What really worked for Bharat Matrimony was that they took a community-based approach. So they tended to be really strong in certain communities. And this was also a very good insight on the part of the team that India marries based on communities. And so rather than being a one-size-fits-all marketplace, they decided to be matchmakers for communities, so micro marketplaces essentially, which was an interesting structure. As the company entered 2016-17, they realized that, you know, they want to play a bigger game and did something that internet unicorns would dream of. It's not being a unicorn, but having an IPO. And the company got listed, had a very, very good IPO, 2000 crores was a market cap. It's obviously reduced since then, but it's still a big number. And around the same time, Tinder entered the market. Everyone was like, oh, this is a buzzy startup, it will take over. But nothing like that actually happened. And the reason is that it might look like new companies will come and disrupt the old legacy businesses, but what really works in Bharat Matrimony's favor is that they are so trusted. And nobody wants to go to a new company when you have trust with someone else. And that brand has been built over years of successful matches, happy marriages, and things like that. So there are some interesting dynamics here. One is obviously the churn that I spoke about. The second is that legacy companies actually have an advantage. And they are continuously updating themselves in trying to be better and coming up to speed with new changes. So they started a lot of services, Elite Matrimony. They have specific state level matrimony websites. And that's really helped the company. COVID was a huge impact on the business, essentially because of the physical nature of matchmaking and meeting people. The company was down to almost 25% of its IPO market cap at the end of March, but it's recovered and is almost back to normal. And that really shows that, you know, these businesses are very resilient. They are not private market multiples. Like today we saw Urban Ladder getting acquired by Reliance for almost a pittance, 200 crores, which is like 30% of what they raised, not even of what they were valued at. So I think that these numbers, when they're in the public markets, are much more real. I wouldn't say private market valuations are not real. It's just that when people are able to buy shares and value you as a public company, you have shareholders that hold you accountable. It's a very different thing. And I think there's a lot of respect for these kind of companies. So matchmaking will continue to be a big problem to solve. And this is literally matchmaking, Indian matchmaking. And Bharat Matrimony is in good shape and good position to actually leverage that. It's just going to be a bigger market, and we are very hopeful that they will continue to innovate and win. So it was a good story and good learning, a very different kind of business from the ones that we really look at.
Certainly an incredible story of building a company that's profitable in online business. Happy Diwali, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to A Junior VC Unfiltered.